he really got so excited. In fact, there was something strange that happened. He jumped off his chair. He came to embrace me because then he realized that it was me last year that I met him and helped. I asked him, I said, tell me, why are you staying here? Why not leave? Why not go to a better place or, you know, for a better life? And he looked at me and said, without pausing, said, as long as the Church of Christ is here, I am not leaving. I've seen this also in Ukraine. Some of the needs there, that they didn't know us to ask us, could you help us? But God placed it on our hearts to help them there, and they were just praying to God that somehow their needs will be met.
Many of them shared how much being part of the group meant that they had a smaller setting in which to share.
So one day he said, before his father, they were like a family around the table, and before the father started to eat, he said, stop, nobody eats. And they go like, what happened? Well, we have to pray. You know, and then the parents go like, the father goes like, whoa, what's that? I never prayed in my life.
Welcome to the In Touch Mission International Podcast, where you get to hear directly from ITMI partners. I'm your host, Summer Kelly. This episode is part two of my interview with ITMI's Audie and Emma Bond. In this part, Audie and Emma are finishing up what they've been sharing about Ukraine, and then they're moving on to talk about how, because of the investment made in them by their partners, they've been able to build up the church and also reach outside of it by ministering to couples and families in Romania. In fact, you'll hear Audie share how that investment has meant so much to them that it was the motivation for their outreach in Ukraine. When you hear that, get goosebumps, because that's your support bearing fruit. Let's get started. Audie and Emma, welcome back to the ITMI podcast. I am so excited to finish this conversation that we started and hear more about what's happening in your part of the world.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share.
Yes, Summer, and this has been great in having a conversation with you on this and having our ITMI family listening to our experiences with the Lord back in Romania and Ukraine.
Last trip where you thought, this is why I'm here, this is why God sent me here, this is why God led me here, and if there was such a moment, could you describe where you were and what you were doing?
I share with you that one night we stayed in the home of this pastor who has 8 children, and while we were there and talking, he really got so excited. In fact, there was something strange that happened. I met him a year before, and it was in a different city, different settings. And then we talked a little bit with him, and then we said, this is what the Lord places on our heart to help a little bit with his projects with the church and camping and everything else. And for some reason, when we met in his house, he did not remember me. The moment I said to him, I said, okay, I just wonder what happened and, you know, how did it go? And it just clicked into his mind. He jumped off his chair. He came to embrace me because then he realized that it was me last year that I met him and helped. So that moment, it was so much excitement. He said, you know what? I've done this video clip for you to send it to you. But the enthusiasm and his really joy. And I was like, okay, this is why I'm here. Allowing God to work through my life and bringing so much joy into this person's life and the ministry that he's sharing. So it was one of those moments, Summer, honestly. This is why I'm here encouraging the people and our brothers in Christ.
What are some of the challenges they are facing
as they're sort of in the trenches, both spiritually and physically?
The challenges are always on a spiritual ground because it's a spiritual battle. Okay, so you'll always face all kinds of pressures because you have people using drugs, using alcohol, not having work. You have a lot of people that are sick without medicine. And then you have your own challenge of your family. And I'm remembering now a pastor that I've been visiting for this past 3 years. At 18, he left his hometown and church where he grew up. He was not giving his life to Christ at the time. So he went and tried pretty much everything. And by 25, he said, God had really hold me and asked me, what do you want to do? Do you want to be with me or do you want to be against me? And it was at that point in time that he gave his life to Christ. And he has a family, has children. And I asked him, I said, tell me, why are you staying here? Why not leave? Why not go to a better place or, you know, for a better life? And he looked at me and said, without pausing, said, as long as the Church of Christ is here, I am not leaving. Because his call was so powerful when he was 25. He said, this is what God is calling me and this is what I want to do. And because of things like this, I understand that he had, you know, they have to find ways to, you know, put bread on the table. Because one aspect is pastors there are not paid a salary. So they have to work to put bread on the table and pay the bills and raise their families, but they don't have a salary from the church, and yet they are so devoted in doing this. So there is a challenge of meeting those needs, and that's a real challenge there. That's why, in a sense, we felt compelled to go and help and be, you know, somehow a little bit into what they are doing ministry-wise from a distance, as much as, you know, so many people were in our lives back in Romania. And just what the blessing was for Emma and I to have others from distance helping us,
yes,
to empower us in doing the ministry. And it's the same model that we see it very valid and good to apply now to Ukraine. What other challenges they face there? Some of the people that don't know God, they are pretty much against God. So besides shells and bombs falling on top of them there, they have to face that. And how do you conquer this world? And Christ came to show his love for us. And that's the only way we can do it, through the gospel and showing God's love to these people, which is not always easy. But I have seen it done and happening, and it's so powerful.
And I want to go back a little bit to something you mentioned in the middle, and that is that it was so meaningful for you to have other people supporting you during a time when it was very difficult to be a Romanian, and there were things going on there where it made life difficult, especially for believers. And just how encouraging for your partners who have supported you financially all those years, and to now see that you're thriving, you're reaching others in Romania, as well as turning around and passing on that blessing to those in a really difficult spot in Ukraine.
Yes, and that's true. I mean, this is a great model that we have experienced. We saw how God has blessed us through so many supporters of ITMI, and blessed to know the ITMI family, and having, I mean, Steve has been so supportive of our ministry there. And before that, it was Bill, and we were so gracious in knowing that people are praying and giving. And oftentimes, when probably not many people knew of some of the challenges there, economic challenges, for example, God worked in somebody else's heart here and just moved them, not knowing the reality there and meeting the needs. And this is great because we've seen this also in Ukraine. Some of the needs there that they didn't know us to ask us, could you help us? But God placed it on our hearts to help them there. And they were just praying to God that somehow their needs will be met. And, you know,
or
God is making it possible.
Them. God placed it on your mind to ask them. And they realized that, yes, they can share and maybe get some help.
And that's true. Yes.
And just, that's a great tie-in, talking about supporters who have invested in your ministry, because your ministry is also in Romania, and you mentioned the young couples being part of your mission in Ukraine, supporting financially some of the pastors, as well as accompanying you on trips. Yeah. And so, first of all, can you talk about how it's been to have some of those young men who you've watched grow up in some ways? I know they were, you know, newlyweds when you first started discipling them, but what was it like to have some of those young men come with you to Ukraine and sacrifice to help their brothers in Christ in Ukraine?
It's always a great joy to see someone that you invest in and growing and developing. It's just one of those things where you cannot necessarily envision how it will unfold. That was our hope, that people will not only learn how to start and develop good marriages, but their lives will impact other lives beyond their marriage. And even my first experience, the first trip to Donbas, when I called Benny and I said, would you come? He had things planned. He changed all his itinerary, meaning flying. He had to fly to France, to Paris. So flying and changing all that so he can accommodate in coming. And I saw how God, because it was the last moment when the other person dropped from the trip, and I felt like it's not good to go just myself. So I saw him, and then the next year he came back, and then somebody else came alongside. And, you know, it was such a powerful trip for me to see them getting involved and sharing their testimonies and sharing from the Word of God and being there and delivering food and doing all that. And then when we came back, I let them speak, you know, for, you know, share their experience. So that's how more people got involved. And then this year I had one of the business owners of the water treatment company. They helped us with that filter system. I said, you know, would be good if one of you will come and be with me and see it. So he was so glad. And he said, you know what? You could have shown me pictures and videos, but this is a real life situation. And I'm so glad that I was able to come and see. And then the other one that was with me this year, Dan, he's been a Sunday school teacher for many years. He wanted for a while to come, but now it was an opportunity. So, and for him was so good to be there and share the love of Christ with these people. And at the same time, what we all felt, that God was blessing our lives in the middle of us trying to be a blessing for others. And the time we were together and praying together and traveling together, all those moments were very, very, very precious.
Yeah, that has to be so rewarding. The Young Couples Fellowship is part of the ministry that you guys do in Romania. And for listeners who may not be familiar with what that is, will you give us a little, just a brief description of what that ministry looks like?
Sure, gladly. Right after we finished our first and second premarital counseling seminars and groups, and some of those participants reached to us and said, now that it's over, can't we not continue to meet with you and fellowship together? We prayed about it and thought about it and said, yeah, we think this would be a great opportunity to disciple and invest in the lives of newlyweds and share what we knew and what we had learned. And so that's how we started with the first group, which had about 15 couples. And so this ministry kept going, and now we're into our fifth group. And so what we do is we meet twice a month throughout the school year, so September through June. And each time we meet, we pray, we read the Bible, and we study the Bible, and also some material, study materials that is pertinent to family, to couples. For example, we did 10 Great Dates, which is a material that David and Claudia Arp have, 10 Great Dates to Energize or Re-energize Your Marriage. Then this past year, we did 10 Great Dates Connecting Love, Faith, and Marriage. And it was really good to have all these in together and see how much our relationship with the Lord impacts our marriages, our families, our relationship with each other, our relationship with our children, and to the community around us. Because we keep We know, I mean, we hope and pray, and we know that by encouraging families, you really are making a difference, not only in their marriages, but also in your church and also in the community.
And I would add that just having those discussions with the groups, and when things are, you know, there are times when things are not that easy, you hit some of those barriers, either in communication or, you know, other types of barriers in the marriage.
Especially first years.
And help them navigate through them, and helping them to see beyond those things. And the fact that not they are not the only ones that are experiencing such things in their marriage. That really helped them open up and feel free to share and ask questions.
And learn from each other.
And learn from each other. Plus, the more we started to work with couples, when we started to get newer couples in, they were able to make the bridge of communicating some of these experiences to the younger couples much, much easier than probably we could do it. So that's been a great, and I think it's part of the discipleship. One of the things that we started more and more to ask ourselves and we started to initiate is how to reach out to the communities where we live. And one of the things that we realized is that by inviting our neighbors into our homes for a meal, for a coffee, for light discussion, and then being able to reach out to them.
And to share the good news.
And to share the gospel and the good news has been on our hearts. So not only we look at discipleship, but it's also how we reach out to the others. Plus all this mission trips, not only to Ukraine, we've done this to Ukraine, and we have taken mission trips in the Romanian context. So, and sometimes we go and go to a local village, local church, and try to minister to them and be an encouragement to them.
And seeing the couples right in front of the church there with us, either sharing their testimony or a psalm and singing with us, is such a powerful testimony to the church. And many churches have said that they've been encouraged by our visit, and to see so many young couples there witnessing and praising God.
Yeah. So why do you think it was that those original couples came to you and said, can we meet again? Can we do this again? Why is it so important for them? Either what do you observe, or what do they say that being in a group like the one we're talking about means to them?
Yeah, I think just the genuine need to know and be known, and for relationships. Several of them have shared, we are the church that we are attending back home, and all these couples were, and some of them still are attending, is a larger church. So you can easily feel, maybe not even lonely, but feel like there aren't that many who know your name and know who you are and what you're doing unless you reach out. So many of them shared how much being part of the group meant that they had a smaller setting in which to share even their prayer requests and to grow in their relationship. And also, they felt it was so good for like a network whenever they had any sort of need. They knew that, you know, maybe let's just start with a prayer request. They knew that if they had a prayer request or if a prayer need, they could write it and we would all be praying. If they had a material need, they would write it down and we would all be praying, and also we would all be sort of trying to see how we can meet that. So along the years we've seen people looking for jobs who have found really good jobs, or people looking for an apartment. Ideas came from other couples and prayers, and they were able to secure a place to live. Lots of prayers and praying went on as they were starting to have children. And it was a great support group for young moms who would all of a sudden find themselves at home and not going out so much like they had used to. So it really, I'd say, is friendship, network, prayer support, encouragement, all of the above.
Yeah. We have some interesting stories, very powerful stories of like the prayer lives when there were couples that the doctors told them that they cannot have children. And we brought this up to They brought it to the group, and we decided as a group to pray specifically for this. And looking now back, I mean, a long story, making short, looking now back, to see these families with children, not one child, but with children. And they are healthy, and they are growing and doing well. And we realized again that was, you know, God's answering their prayers and our prayers. And, you know, giving thanks to the Lord for His showing His kindness and mercy towards them, and allowing this to become a reason to praise His name. All of this, I think, brings us back to what the scripture is telling us, that the community of faith, the loving of each other, of brothers and sisters in Christ, in a way that the world does not necessarily know how to do it. It's a very, very important aspect of living for Christ while here on earth.
And also, I'd have to say, some people who are more introverted, but still came and were part of the group later on, or like at the end of the year, would share how much they felt that they have grown just from having participated and being encouraged to share and to talk and to just being part of the meetings. Because again, it's so easy to sit in your corner and really just sort of watch. And they said they felt they would have lost a very important part in their growing if they would not have come to the group and really becoming vulnerable by sharing, and also speaking with others and letting others know how they are and what they're up to.
So how common is the opportunity to participate in a group like this in your area? Is that something that you see other churches like kind of looking at you guys and going, well, this is working, we should do this? Or is this fairly unique?
Well, when we started, put it this way, there was no premarital program in our church or in other churches that we've known in Romania. So almost 20 years ago, we initiated something that now it's more and more present. There are more and more churches. And in fact, that was one of the desires of our heart, is that even people coming into this through premarital or marriage groups, they will one day start their own, and they will be a good starting point in other churches. And in fact, today, we have many other churches that have started this because somebody from the church came and was part of this.
And also using the book we wrote several years back, they use it as their textbook, and they say they found it really helpful.
Actually, at this point in time, we feel like, wow, God has allowed us to see how a ministry that started from, you know, grassroots has been growing and extending and becoming something which is, you know, almost a norm in many other places and churches. Now, there are people and churches that are inviting us over, and we do participate, and we go and do seminars or conferences with them. And we always encourage them to start. If they don't have this, they should look and start this, because it's going to be a great help to the community.
Happening and the opportunities that are opening up for so many through your guys' faithfulness. That's beautiful. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other parts of your ministry. Not long ago, you guys started a preschool, and I know that the heart of that was you to sort of invite people into your own community that weren't yet involved with church, the way to to bless your community. So can you guys talk a little bit about the preschool and what led you to start that, and how you're seeing God work through that?
Yeah, it's a small ministry if you consider by numbers, but I think it's a very powerful one. It's small because for years we have looked. We are in a rented place, so that kind of holds us in terms of growing, because you cannot grow beyond what the space allows you. But we have anywhere between 20 to 24 children.
Each year.
And we have three teachers, yeah. Teachers. What we do actually is we let parents know that our curriculum is following, it's a Christ-based and scripture-based curriculum. So what we do there is not to offense anyone, but this is what we believe in, and this is what we want to do. And therefore, they know from the beginning that if they want to enroll their child or children with us, this is what's coming to them. And one story, for example, is one family came because they received very good referral from a friend. So they brought their son. The first weeks, the son learned before you eat and before different major events. We come before God and we thank him for the food and for provisions and for the day. So the kid went home and he realized that back home, nobody prays before a meal. So one day he said before his father, there were like a family around the table. And before the father started to eat, he said, stop. Nobody eats. And they go like, what happened? Well, we have to pray.
Teacher says we have to pray.
You know, and then the parents go like, the father goes like, whoa, what's that? I never prayed in my life. It was him who shared actually the story. So he had no clue what to say. And then the kid said, okay, if nobody wants to pray, I'll pray. So he prayed as he learned in the program. We had families that actually one of the parents, when he came many years ago, he proclaimed himself as being an atheist. And we said, that's not a problem for us. In fact, you know, you are welcome as long as you understand that this is what we do. Not only that they brought their son, but then when they had a daughter several years later, guess where they came with the daughter? They came and looked for us, and actually she just graduated this summer.
Yeah, we are trying some very appreciative words to say at the final meeting with the parents before she was graduating, and they said how much really these years have meant for them, for their family, to see how their daughter was accommodated and how they worked with her and how the teachers loved on her and also influenced her and growth of her character and just the overall experience. They said they really enjoyed it.
Now, I know some people might say, yes, but did they receive Jesus? Well, I cannot say that for sure. What I do want to say that we have really warmed up their hearts towards Christ. So I think this is what we are called. We are called to have God's word planted in the child's mind and heart, and in the same time in their parents' minds and hearts. So one of the things that Emma and I did, we had meetings with the parents. In those meetings, we always presented the gospel and we presented different tips and how to help them in their family lives and how to parent and how to be a better husband or wife. And those meetings were also very well appreciated by the participants, by the parents. Honestly, I never heard one parent leaving the school frustrated or angry or not pleased, but with a lot of appreciation for what's going on there. So we praise the Lord that he enables us to do this. And we are praying that if the Lord will keep us alive and be able to continue ministering to the community by having this preschool program.
Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing with us what's going on in your part of the world.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Summer. Thank you for having us, and God bless you in this important part of what you are doing also for ITMI and for all of us.
Well, everybody, that's it for part two. As Adi shared at the end, it means a lot to our partners to get to share their experiences and their stories from their ministry. It's such a blessing. So thanks for blessing us and being with us today. We really are thankful for you. See you next time.